runs by it.
Premier League show on URN Sport.
Today, the games we'll be covering live, we'll have Ollie Roberts on Leicester versus City, and I'm sure he'll take us through that in a second, what happened in the first half. Joe Wilkinson will be covering everything Liverpool versus Southampton, and Paddy Summerton will be doing West Brom versus Chelsea. So I'm going to come to you first, Ollie. We've seen a decent show first half show from City so far. I mean, they've been doing what City have been doing all season, really, playing good tiki-taka football. But how have Leicester really done? I mean, 1-0 at half-time, what's been going on?
Well, the stats would suggest that Leicester have done absolutely nothing in this game. They're actually yet to register a shot. They've had 26% possession. So the stats there would suggest that City have continued their imperious form. But that being said, Leicester have looked fairly decent on the counter-attack. Damari Gray and Mark Albrighton have looked fairly decent down the left and right flanks. And there was a time early on in the match where Jamie Vardy seemingly got in behind the City defence, and Vincent Kompany is actually a very lucky boy to still be on the field. He brought him down. He was seemingly the last man back, and he was only awarded a yellow card, which Claude Puel had something to say to the assistants. In that sense, Leicester could potentially nick a goal on the counter attack, but yeah, City have obviously been fairly dominant, as you would have expected, and did take the lead through Gabriel Jesus, and it was quite simply an exquisite goal that you've come to expect from Manchester City tiki-taka football, and Gabriel Jesus finished it off. So yeah, 1-0 in this game. I can't see Leicester getting back into it, but if they were going to, I'd probably suggest that it's going to be on the counter-attack.
I'll come to you now, Joe, who's been watching Liverpool-Southampton. What's been going on over there?
The first half has been pretty Liverpool-dominated, I say. Liverpool had majority of the shots. Southampton have looked pretty weak and quite embarrassing. Not particularly great in attack. And their first goal showed that they have been a bit sloppy in defence, because there was a corner cleared to the edge of the area, dilly-dallying on the ball. Then Liverpool win the ball back with their Gegenpressing style. And then Salah just curls one in from the edge of the area. Really, really good goal. But I'd say the second goal was probably better, just because the assist from Coutinho is outside of the boot, through the channel, and Salah just sort of pokes it in. Brilliant finish. But apart from that, I wouldn't say it has actually been that great of a game, because often when Liverpool play opposition, I don't want to be rude, but slightly worse than themselves, it tends to be kind of a flat game because they can't use their counter-attacking abilities, and so they're sort of just piling on the pressure, and we lack, I think, a bit of creativity when going forward sometimes.
What a goal, sorry.
What an unbelievable
goal that is. And it's another goal to Manchester City. It's Kevin De Bruyne. It's an absolute wonder strike from outside the box. Leicester had a free kick up the other end of the field just moments before Mara swung the ball in, and Harry Maguire had the ball cleared off the line by looks like it was Vincent Kompany. City have then counter-attacked, gone right up down the other end of the field. Sane's got the ball on the left. He's played the ball back inside to Kevin De Bruyne, who beats one man, launches the ball from outside the box, and he's rifled it into the net. It's an unbelievable finish. Kevin De Bruyne keeping up this incredible run of form that he's on at the minute. And yes, if it carries on like this, City could get 3 or 4.
This is URN Sport.
Goal.
What's going on?
There was a counter from a West Brom corner where Kante's taken the ball at the edge of the box and driven all the way up the pitch, passed it off to Hazard, who's cut inside the front of the box, hit it across the keeper, and it looks like it's going in, but it's come off the post and gone out. So not a goal, but it's a good chance for Chelsea. So
I might as well cut to you now anyway, Paddy. Chelsea, we're both Chelsea fans. We were talking about this before we came on. 3-0 up, fantastic first half performance.
Yeah, terrific first half performance from Chelsea. They West Brom started very well in the first 15 minutes. Rondon had an offside goal. They had one or two headers in the box, sort of put pressure on Chelsea. But then Hazard found some space on the edge of the box, had a long shot, but it was very powerfully hit low and in the corner. Ben Foster got a hand to it, but Morata got onto the end and put it in. Then Hazard scored a second after an absolute worldie of a pass from Morata. Fabregas has hit the ball into him. He's turned and flicked it, played Hazard in behind the defence, goes one-on-one with Foster, takes it round him, and then puts it into the empty net. Then Chelsea continued that pressure, got a free kick for a strange tackle by Hagazi, who sort of was wrestling Morata on the edge of the box.
He almost forgot which sport he was playing. Yeah. Getting a bit excited by the Rugby World Cup recently.
Exactly, yeah. And Fabregas showing his quality once again by putting a wonderful cross into the back post where Alonso was there to like fire it into the roof of the net. Chelsea could have had a couple of penalty shouts for Chelsea, with Foster taking out Morata by sliding into him after holding onto the ball for a bit too long, but Chelsea have been dominant in this game now and seem to be continuing that.
Firmino on the edge of the area, saved by Forster, and it's a goal.
Oh, goal.
I think it's Coutinho. Firmino cuts inside from the right hand side, hits it straight at Forster. Forster can't do anything about it, just parries it straight into Coutinho and half volleys it in. Beautiful finish. I think must be surely game set and matched. I really hope so anyway.
So I want to talk a bit about what Eden Hazard's just said after the game. Sounded very, very upbeat, very optimistic in his post-match interview. He said, "Manchester City are winning a lot of games, but we want to close the gap. You never know in the Premier League. Last year we won 12 or 13 games in a row, so why not? Again, we have to be ready for that." Paddy, is there a hope that Chelsea could potentially snatch the season?
I mean, with football you can never really know, but if they can go in a 13 or 14 game winning streak again, then there's always a chance that as imperious as City have looked at the minute, that they might drop points here and there, maybe in when it comes rotation for the in the defence, in the Christmas like fixture list where it gets quite congested. It's always a possibility City might drop points as strong as they've looked now, and any other team that wants to keep up with them really just has to keep winning and keep putting on the pressure as much as they can.
And Ollie, I'll swap to you here. We're talking about Chelsea potentially having a chance, and as Paddy said, it is the Premier League, things can change. Looking at teams who could potentially threaten Manchester City, you've got Chelsea. Is there anyone else there?
Well, I would have said Tottenham before I watched the game earlier. In the past couple of weeks I've said Tottenham would probably be Manchester City's biggest threat because they've got the best defence in the Premier League, but judging by the performance I watched earlier, that might not be the case, and judging by the Manchester City game that I've just watched, they do seem pretty imperious at the minute. A word on Chelsea, I think they obviously don't seem as strong as they were last season, but if they, like Paddy said, if they continue picking up points like this and they win, I think the key in the Premier League is winning the easy games. So the teams that continue to beat the lower league teams consistently, as Manchester City seem to have done so far this season, they're going to be the teams that really challenge. I think that's probably Liverpool's biggest downfall, is that they, even though they probably play some of the best football in the league at times, when it comes to winning these easy games, or I say easy games, but these games they should be winning. They don't always seem to do it. They seem to have a lot of draws. They seem to drop points against teams where they really shouldn't be doing so. So I think, yeah, that's the real key. And that brings me on to the Manchester United game. Newcastle, probably one of those teams you would say where Manchester United should be. It should be a relatively easy win. Manchester United at home, they've got the better team on paper. They seem to be in decent form. It's just whether or not they can put in a consistent performance and grind out this relatively easy win.
So we've actually had a message in from someone with a question, which is quite interesting. It regards the Everton job, which is up for grabs recently. I mean, obviously, we saw in the news quite recently that Sam Allardyce has said he doesn't want the Everton job. David Unsworth. So after another poor performance and result, can David Unsworth seriously be considered a contender for the Everton job? Now, obviously, Everton did not play very well today. By all accounts, Crystal Palace really deserved the game. But Unsworth, should he really get a look in, Paddy?
I don't think so. I think for him, because he's been throughout like Everton squads, he's been with the under-21s, I think, before he got put into this sort of caretaker position. I think he might want to keep that sort of be part of the club still. I think it maybe is a bit too much for him. Usually when a caretaker manager comes in and gets the job, it's because they've had a really good run. You think of Craig Shakespeare when he came in after Ranieri got sacked. He came in, they won five games in a row, I think it was, and he then got the job. I think it's too much, too far. I think Everton, with the targets that they've been suggested, they're quite they're looking forward to trying to break into that top four. A very like hard job, but maybe they will be more go for someone with a bit more pedigree.
I mean, Joe, Paddy was talking about breaking into the top four potentially. At the minute, they're stagnating down in 16th. Whether it's Unsworth or another manager, what do you think their aim for this season should be?
Well, their aim for this season should be top four, but I think that's what it should be, because I don't really see the point in them trying to aim for 5th, 6th, and 7th, because they probably will end up becoming 7th anyway or 6th this season. But I don't really see I can't see Everton coming back into it. They just don't. When I watch them, they just don't give me like any sense that they really, really want it. They often don't try as hard as they could in the games, and the signings just haven't worked. And so I think it's going to take time for them to get back where they should be. So maybe next season, top four. I mean, they should still aim for top four this season, but I think just as high as they can climb, claw their way back up, to be honest. But next season, definitely top four. Otherwise, they're just going to be staying the same.
Ollie, I'll come to you, because I think this is quite interesting. Top four should be the goal. When you look at some of the quality of those teams, even going top six, top seven, you got City here on fire, Chelsea, United, Tottenham, Liverpool, Arsenal, Burnley. Do Everton, can they push for top four even next season? I mean, based on their performances this season, where Unsworth today has actually come out and said he's very happy with the point they got, which is somewhat controversial, can they really be expected to push in? I mean, they've not looked good at all, especially after spending the amount they did on signings.
Yeah, I think the Everton job's a really, really tough one, because you would have thought Everton, considering their performance in the past few seasons, would be probably a top seven club. They're probably not quite at the level of the top six, but they've been banging on the door the past few seasons, and their squad looked like it might not necessarily have the strength and depth of some of these bigger clubs, but with the likes of Romelu Lukaku out front, it seemed like on their day they could probably beat anyone. The problem really for them has been the loss of Lukaku, and the fact that instead of replacing him with a big name signing, they haven't been able to attract that sort of big name, and as a result they've replaced him with a lot of mediocre average players. In that sense, the Everton job is a really tough one, because anyone who comes in, the fans are going to have such high expectations, but their squad ultimately isn't good enough to achieve that high of a finish. I think in that sense David Unsworth really isn't the right man for the job. I think they need to look at managers in the Premier League who have done well with perhaps not a strong squad, the likes of Sean Dyche and Marco Silva. I can't see Marco Silva going, considering how recently he's taken the Watford job and how well he's doing with Watford. I think Sean Dyche is probably the right man for the job. He's been at Burnley for years now. He's done such a good job with them. They've been in incredible form this season. And although I touched touched on Everton's squad and mentioned how it probably isn't as strong as it should be, or it has been in the past, it's still probably a stronger squad than Burnley. So if he can replicate the sort of success that he's had with Burnley this season and turn Everton into this sort of defensive or solid defensively team, and if he can get the best out of some of their recent signings, and start, maybe the strikers can start getting on the score sheet. I think is it Dominic Calvert-Lewin who's getting the nod, and well. Niasse. So whilst they might not be the same caliber as Lukaku, if he can get the best out of them, then I think he's the right man for the job.
This is URN Sport.